Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you to all the panelists. We've been listening closely and we found each one to be exceptional presentations. I'd like to make one comment on behalf of our delegation and then ask a question to the panelists. As our first Food for Thought paper on mapping autonomy lays out, at this moment, Canada believes that it is useful to think in terms of a spectrum of autonomy, with the level of autonomy closely tied to a system's technology and capabilities, operational environment, and chosen task, rather than strictly the qualities of the system itself. After all, levels of autonomy will vary according to a variety of factors, and autonomy is ultimately a subjective assessment of a robot's capabilities given the demands of mission, environment, and mechanical system. In short, the less help the system needs, the more autonomous it will seem. For example, when a robot design can cope with environmental complexity, such as airspace, vegetation, or terrain, mission complexity, such as identifying friend from foe, or working towards a target despite opposition, and mechanical control problems, such as controlling multiple legs, rotors, or flippers, observers may describe the system as autonomous in terms of certain functions or tasks. In short, autonomy is extremely complex, and as a result, Canada does not consider it particularly useful to debate the definition of autonomy itself removed from context. It seems that what will be unique or most important or even potentially problematic about lethal autonomous weapon systems is the nature and level of the human and machine relationship or interaction when conducting certain tasks which we may choose to be problematic or fulfilling certain key functions such as targeting. Accordingly, it is this relationship that we feel should be the focus of discussion. And in this regard, Canada would like to recognize both the work of UNIDIR and the ICRC as thought leaders in this regard. I would particularly like to recognize the work of UNIDIR on behalf of Canada, both on this issue and many others with regards to increasing levels of autonomy in weapon systems. Our delegation, for one, has found this work to be particularly useful, and Canada has been honored to support it in some small way. With that said, I would like to ask a question of the panelists, particularly to Professor Sukman and Wallach, but this is probably applicable to all the panelists. I listened closely to your presentations, and some of what you raised does indeed seem concerning. But my question is to you as a roboticist or robot ethicist, and that question is related to risk and what levels of risk we might accept when it comes to robots doing something. And should that level of risk be different than the level of risk that we accept when humans do a function or when humans and machines do a function together? How much should that acceptance vary, the acceptance rate vary, and why? And I ask this because you talked about uncertainty, you talked about unpredictability with regards to discrimination especially. You, Mr. Wallach, talked about risk, and all of those risks seem possible to me when we talk about laws, but they also seem not only possible but demonstrable when we talk about human soldiers taking kinetic action. Mistakes are made during the fog of war, despite the human capability to attempt to discriminate, especially in a modern or difficult war context. And also I note that when humans and machines are interacting together and disasters happen, we've seen that unique risks arise with regards to the interaction and the relationship between humans and machines. So in that regard, saying that humans must be involved, to me it doesn't mitigate the risk as much as it just probably alters the nature of the risk. So that's my general question. I'd look forward to your response.